more. Offer for new customers subject to change. Restrictions apply.
Yes?
Howdy, ma'am. I'm Bill.
Oh, yes, Bill. My cousin told me you know all about outdoor lighting.
Yep, I'm an outdoorsy guy.
Creating an outdoor lighting scheme does take a lot of know-how. That's why you should call the experts at Crosby Electric to enhance your property's beauty and safety.
Are you sure you should be digging there, Bill?
Oh, sure, it's fine. Oh, so that's where that water line is.
Crosby can recommend the right type of lighting. They'll advise you about proper placement around paths, decks, and water features, and they'll install zone security lighting for your safety and peace of mind.
Bill, are you finished yet?
Yep, even lit up your koi pond. See, when I flip this switch.
Bill, you just fried my goldfish. Now what?
Oh, I got a nice recipe for tartar sauce.
To make your property safer and more beautiful, call the outdoor lighting experts at Crosby Electric, 272-2085, or visit us at crosbyelectric.com.
Hi, this is Greg Schaefer with AKD Screen Printing and Embroidery, hoping everyone had a wonderful summer. With back to school right around the corner, I just wanted to remind all of our customers that we are ready to get back to work for you. From t-shirts to backpacks and everything in between, AKD can handle all of your promotional product needs. If you're looking for that unique graphic, let our talented artists help put together that perfect design for your next event. And with more than 30 years in the industry, our team at AKD will make sure your experience with us is fun and hassle-free. So please give us a call at 277-8433 for our Montgomery office or 361-2133 for our Prattville office. And because of our wonderful customers, AKD is busier than ever, and we have positions open in our screen printing department. So anyone interested in joining the AKD family, please consider applying by going to our website at goakd.com. And remember, AKD, your home for custom screen printing, embroidery, and advertising specialties.
It's hard to feel lucky when your dishwasher breaks, or your dryer, or refrigerator. But maybe you should. Right now, the Home Depot has up to 25% off the high-quality brands you'd feel lucky to own, like GE, LG, and Samsung. So if you've got an appliance that needs replacing, this could be your lucky break. Get up to 25% off top appliances now, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. While supplies last, see store for details, valid through August 22nd.
We know at Deer Camp, shaving is overrated. There's no right answer to how many days you can go without a shower. And you can't count on truth, but you can count on snoring. We know the great outdoors. We love the great outdoors. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's bring you the Fall Hunting Classic, offering the best deals, gear, and special events to keep our tradition of conservation going strong. Visit BassPro.com and Cabela's.com for more information.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, right now offering top pay of 45.5 cents per mile and quarterly and annual safe driving bonuses. Apply today at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We still have a decent chance of showers and thunderstorms. Not every single town will be affected, but many will. The storms will thin out in number in the overnight hours, but tomorrow we'll do it again. Scattered to numerous showers and storms, with the best chance in the afternoon and evening hours, and a high temperature near 90. Then over the weekend, the storms become more widely scattered. A few hit or miss storms here and there. Partly sunny with highs in the low 90s both days. More scattered storms on Monday. Our free weather app has advanced interactive radar down to the neighborhood level, plus current conditions, hourly forecast, 10-day forecast, and push notifications for severe weather alerts. It's free in the App Store. Just search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Alabama Wholesale Lumber, serving the River Region with the best quality building materials for decades. Contractor to do-it-yourselfer. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hold on to your butt.
I'm, of course, surprised that a story had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
Hooey pleases the boobs a great deal more than sense.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In politics, man must learn to rise above principle.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to behave.
Well, our behavior has produced some crappy results.
What we're witnessing now is the failure of the state. It is a death struggle for our republic.
Giving voice to liberty in our time.
Joey Clark. I'm already in vacation mode, folks. Which makes the topic tonight even better. Just, you know, I've been mentioning it a lot lately on my show. But this show will be explicitly just talking about wrestling, talking about life. Joining me to do that, Mike Dean. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, brother. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good, brother. Now, it is, I just learned earlier today, it was 19 years ago to the day Chris Jericho debuted in the WWE.
Ah, interesting factoid.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And, you know, I was telling you off air, I do this, I've done this several times in my life, whether it was Led Zeppelin or Prince or Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like, I'll become obsessed with something. And I want more. I want more stories, more facts, more stuff to just consume. And it's become that with wrestling, and it's a good time to be that way because there are an abundance of riches when it comes to, like, wrestling podcasts.
Yes, it's everywhere.
And just so many stories being told. And it's an interesting time in the business, more I'm learning, because we were talking off air, and we'll start with this. There's this promotion being done called All In. This is like a group of, I guess, promotions that aren't the WWE. It's like, it's wrestlers from all over, right?
Yes, a lot of independent wrestlers, past WWE stars, all coming together and putting on some pretty fantastic shows, really great matches.
And it's the first time in years that, maybe since WCW, that a non-WWE promotion in the States, like, sold out more than a 10,000-seat arena or something?
Yeah, in less than 30 minutes.
Whew. And I like that fact because the WWE is this leviathan. It's almost synonymous. When you say wrestling, you think WWE, and rightfully so for many reasons. But to see now with social media, new technology, guys can go to a different place, have outreach to the audience, to the fans, and now it sells out in 30 minutes like that, there's a lot of opportunity.
There is. It's an exciting time for independent wrestlers.
Yeah, that's and it's cool to see Cody Rhodes getting his due.
Yes. He's a great worker. Coming up, you know, in the shadow of his dad.
Dusty,
and his brother.
Son, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Gold
yeah.
Dust.
Yeah, Gold Dust. I guess that's Dustin Rhodes.
Yes.
And then Dusty Rhodes, Funky Like a Monkey Baby.
Yeah, baby.
To follow in those footsteps, that's tough. It's tough. You're kind of living. And you see, there are a few guys that are second, third generation wrestlers who have, I mean, obviously The Rock is the biggest.
Yes. Yeah.
It's still
Randy
amazing.
Randy Orton's up there.
Randy Orton, he cut a great promo on SmackDown
yeah,
this week. I was like, where's this Randy Orton been? That was awesome. I love that angle. Where he's saying, essentially, anybody you love, WWE Universe, I'm going to erase them. I'm going to tear them down.
Back to the Legend Killer gimmick that he's doing there.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's a lot of fun. But I've really been into a lot of these podcasts. Like, I'm getting sucked into... there's an Alabama guy, Conrad Thompson. I guess somehow
Tuscaloosa
or Huntsville, I think.
Huntsville.
And he is a Bammer.
Yes, Roll Tide.
He says Roll Tide to everything. Oh, Sable's looking pretty Roll Tide. Just very Roll Tide. Like, okay, fair enough. Sable was smoking hot. She is still. Now, I love it's like stupid little stories that are universal beyond just wrestling. For instance, Sable, after she left in the 90s, her big, you know, gig in the 90s where she was on the cover of Playboy, and she was almost, not quite, but she, it was like Steve Austin, maybe The Rock, and like her, like,
right,
the pops they would get. And she like left and sued WWE for like not being paid enough, but also they were throwing everything against the wall to see what stuck. So they brought up sexual harassment in the workplace, but then she comes back. And the story I'm getting to is she's already scantily clad. It's like, I don't think the sex part was that big of a deal for you. It was just part of a lawsuit. But at that point, when she comes back in the early 2000s, her and her husband, Mark Marrow, were pretty much on the outs. Like, they're pretty much done, but not quite done. So Mark Marrow is this guy who, I mean, most of these guys could probably go in a real fight. And he's apparently saying behind the scenes, because there are rumors that Sable's met another wrestler, is seeing another guy. So Mero's kind of saying, oh, kick who's ever asked. I need to. Who's messed around with my woman? Even though the marriage's pretty much done, I'll take him out. And he's talking all this smack. And he finds out, oh, the person Sable is seeing is Brock Lesnar. Oh, Brock's a good guy. That's good for her.
Change your tune real quick.
Yeah. And that's a crazy story. I had somebody asking me about that, saying, what's Lesnar's story? What, did he start in UFC? It's like, no. He was
an amateur wrestler in college.
National champion or All-American or something like that?
Yeah, and he got picked up by WWE and sent down to developmental with John Cena and them about the same time down in Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Ah, that Jim Cornette was running.
Yes, and he came up through the ranks there and then was just huge. And he left and actually joined the NFL before he became a UFC fighter.
Yeah, he wanted to be a Minnesota Viking.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, but then the fact that he went to UFC did dominate.
Yes, he did.
Became the champ.
Even with diverticulitis.
Or diverticulitis.
There you go.
Which my brother, who is my actual brother, he's now a medical sales device, a medical device salesman. And he's focusing on gastrointestinal devices.
Oh, fine.
And so he was explaining to me, a diverticulum is when, blood vessel expands in the butt. I'll just put it that way. And it's like a kind of a pouch, an expanded vessel. And diverticulitis is when that gets infected. So something was wrong with Brock's rectum.
Nice.
But apparently it does, like, knock you out, like, saps you of your energy. And the fact that with diverticulitis he dominates, it's just... it's unreal.
He's a beast.
He really is. And in recent vintage, they've, this week, in fact, or actually the Monday before this past one, he did this big turn where he was already not showing up. And he after the Daniel Cormier won the UFC title, like, Brock ran in.
That was awesome.
Oh, it's great. It's like you have the WWE Universal Champion, like, facing the UFC champion.
And pretty much shoving him around the ring is pretty neat.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, like, okay, how much of course Dana White, or of course the UFC officials and Vince McMahon have been talking.
They have to have. I think since the Ronda Rousey deal, they've been kind of close in what they've been doing, because the latest rumors I've gotten is that Brock is going to stay with WWE and sign another deal with them and do UFC as well. And so there's a chance that he keeps the belt.
I think
coming
does.
Up at SummerSlam. And
yeah, he's facing Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. Roman Reigns, stop trying to make him happen.
Yeah,
like, I'm
it's not working.
Though I was saying off air that maybe we're the demographic, we're, you know,
that's not supposed to like him.
Exactly. We're the guys, and that's one way people describe it. If you see Roman Reigns come out when his music hits, you hear a loud guttural men go boo. But if you listen, you can hear little kids and women cheering. So I'm not a little kid. I'm not a woman. So maybe they're playing us. Yes. Maybe we're marks here. I know I am a mark.
We're just in the wrong demographic.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll see at SummerSlam. And it's shaping up. It's an interesting time in the business, like I was saying, because the indie scene is heating up with new tech and just great work. And WWE has some great matches and storylines, but then they're doing so much that it's like some of it you just go, what are you doing?
It's hard to keep all those plates spinning all the time.
It really is. It's like NXT, for instance. I love it because it's pretty straightforward wrestling. Like was it the last takeover where it was the unsanctioned match between Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling?
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah, that was intense. The Ricochet Velveteen Dream match was phenomenal. I actually was watching that with somebody who had never watched wrestling.
Really?
And she was kind of making fun of it and like going, I can't believe I'm doing this. And, you know, she sat down, she starts watching the Velveteen Dream Ricochet match, and she's like getting into it. Like, nice.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. I think the unsanctioned match kind of turned her off, though. It was a little too intense.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, I loved it. It was, I think that's really cool. If that's what WWE is going to become, okay, I'm on board.
Triple H's baby. When he takes over the company, that's his vision for the future. So,
yeah, absolutely. Now, what are some of the storylines that are like really jump out at you? Some guys that are working right now that you really are watching. You're like, okay.
Seth Rollins and I just cut out here. Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler.
Yes.
With McIntyre in the mix. It's been really good here lately, which you can't go wrong with Seth Rollins. Everything he touches is pretty much gold. And you've got Dolph back on a tear, which was, it was really smart of them to re-sign him when they did.
Yes.
And bring him back.
And actually make him a champion.
Yes. Put a strap on him and let him wear it for a while.
Because, I mean, the guy's probably one of the best out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's good on the microphone. He's good in the ring. He's got a good look about him, a good gimmick. Why not?
Well, and I love that, like, actually, in the promotion, like, on television, he's looking at Seth Rollins and going, but you can't handle that, brother. He's bringing back a little bit of the, I mean, I've heard it on the podcast. It's a big joke a lot of the times. And I'm sure it's what dudes talk about in the locker room, but how they talk. But to see it on TV and see kind of the throwbacks to that 80s and that 90s promo style, it's such a rich history. I love, too, how they built that story with Rollins and Ziegler.
Yes.
That Rollins, every week, was defending the Intercontinental Championship. And was on this, it was just great match after great match. And to see that upset by Ziegler is like, oh no.
Yeah, they did that really well. Having him come out and challenge and actually win was a huge surprise.
Yeah, and so there are great ones. Another great storyline, the current one, is The Miz and Daniel Bryan.
Yes. It's be interesting to see where they go with this. I was telling you off the air that Daniel Bryan's contract is coming up, I want to say, towards the end of the year, and he has not renegotiated or signed a new deal with them. So I don't know if this is one of those dream matches that they wanted to get in before he possibly leaves the company. But, yeah, they're building towards a pretty good match at SummerSlam between those two.
Yeah, and that should be epic. I mean, what they might do is, I mean, it could be you don't have a clean finish. You have some screwy finish.
Yeah, and carry it on.
And carry it on. And because Miz keeps saying, I should be WWE champion. Somehow he ends up with it, and you have a WrestleMania match in the making.
Yes.
I think that could be a top match on the card.
But to do that, you gotta exclude the possibility that Samoa Joe's not going to take that strap off of AJ Styles.
True. And Samoa Joe bringing in AJ's family, man.
Yeah.
Bringing in the family.
You don't do that.
It was intense. I've always, since I started watching the new stuff again, Samoa Joe's one of my favorites.
Yes.
He's so intense.
He's always been one of my favorites. I followed him through his indie career and TNA and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very believable. The program he did with Lesnar, it was great. Like, I mean, that's the problem with having a beast like Lesnar as your champion. It's like, who can you put up against him that's going to be believable?
Exactly. Like Bobby Lashley. I just don't see him, even though he was in Bellator in MMA, they just don't fit. I mean, he's a big guy, but I just don't see him going up against Brock Lesnar. And there's not many that I could see that actually would put on a good match with him, other than maybe Seth Rollins, I think.
Yeah.
Do pretty good.
That would be pretty epic. And, you know, one guy who surprised me with matches against big men, even though he's a little guy, swole little guy, is Finn Balor.
Yes.
I love, like, the matches he did with Braun Strowman are just fantastic.
And the stuff he's doing with Baron Coleman, right? Or Baron Coleman. That, Corbin.
Sometimes I wish it was Baron Corbin.
Yeah. I'd like to see him get his comeuppance.
But, oh, and that was a great turn. I hated Baron Corbin, not from, like, the way you're supposed to hate a heel, but it was just like, who's this guy? And then when they had him shave his head, get rid of the skullet, he is now the constable of Raw, the voice of Stephanie McMahon. It's great.
And he's finding his place in that pretty well.
Oh, yeah. And I like the continuing saga of Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens.
Yes, which that match at, Extreme Rules?
Extreme Rules, the cage match.
Yes, where he got thrown off the cage was pretty awesome.
It was an epic spot, but this is a weird thing, and I've heard a lot of this, and like I was listening to a podcast, I guess it was one of the In Your House pay-per-views, where it was Mankind or Mick Foley against Taker. The classic Hell in the Cell match.
Right, where he gets thrown off the top of it.
Yeah, it's like, he broke him, Jim Ross. He broke him in half. And Foley's not moving. And they really think, like, this guy is messed up. But the whole plan was to do that spot, then climb back up on top of the ring. I think Mick does it because he separated his shoulder on the first spot. And he climbs back up. And then he gets choke slammed through the cage.
The middle of the cage there.
And the story apparently was the cage at top was gimmicked, but the idea was to choke slam him once, have it come loose. Choke slam him again, even more loose, to where the last time he goes through, he's not falling straight from the top.
Right.
Didn't work out that way.
No, it didn't.
Mick Foley gets picked up, choke slammed by Undertaker. The cage breaks the first time. He falls.
It's about 20 feet, 30 feet to the ring.
How insane. Having, you know, taken bumps and done some of the stuff, how insane is that?
That is incredibly insane. That's risking your own life right there.
Yeah.
And when you consider when Owen Hart died, you know, he fell from, I think it was 40 or 50 feet. And hit his head. You know, you land just wrong, just the right way, and it can be end of the road for you, end of your career, end of your life.
Yeah, I mean, and on top of him falling straight through the cage onto the ring, a chair falls through, hits him in the face,
knocks his tooth out,
and then his tooth ends up in his nose somehow.
Yeah,
like my goodness. So when you see something like that, I think that was 98. Like Bad Blood, I think. So you fast forward to Kevin Owens being thrown off the cage by Strowman. It's an incredible spot. And KO's been doing all sorts of, like at Money in the Bank. What was that, a 30-foot ladder?
Yeah.
I mean, really crazy stuff. But at a certain point, it's like, okay, we've seen these things. I still love it. But
you're numb to it a little bit.
Yeah, and that's why I don't know. It's a tough thing. It's a tough line to walk where you're like, okay, we've seen this before, but I'm still impressed.
I think you just need Jim Ross calling it. That would make it all better.
I'm not big on Michael Cole.
Yeah.
I'm not. I like Corey Graves.
Adding Renee Young to the announce.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Part of this women's evolution.
Yeah, when we have yet to talk about that, apparently they announced a few weeks ago an all-women's pay-per-view.
Yes.
Only female matches.
And there's a lot of speculation that they're going to start up the women's tag team division at that pay-per-view.
Nice.
Which would be pretty interesting.
Nice.
Because they have so many women wrestlers that they don't use on a regular basis on TV. That would give them an opportunity to do that. And from what I understand, it's going to be cross-brand so that it can be challenged on either SmackDown or on Raw.
Nice.
So that'll kind of mix it up a little bit as well for the women's division.
Well, and I'm liking that all the pay-per-views are now dual-branded.
Yes.
That everybody
having two a month was a bit draining.
It was. I mean, I sometimes miss having something on Sunday to watch. Yeah. On Sunday. But
well, creatively, though, it's a much better move for them.
Exactly. And it's, it's a lot of fun. And I have to say, like, when I remember women in wrestling from the 90s, and it was what? Nitro Girls and Playboy Playmates. And
as you had Lendra Blaze.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
But it was you know, what we mentioned earlier, Sable. It was
valets and things like that.
And, you know, somewhat very unseemly storylines were like, oh, you knocked me off the ring and I was pregnant and I had a miscarriage. Yeah. Like, ooh. There's some stuff, like, I'm not a politically correct guy, but there's some of those storylines you're like, what were you guys thinking?
Yeah, like with Kane and the dead body.
Oh, goodness.
I had to stop watching wrestling for a little while at that point. I was like, it's just...
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Come on. Bro.
Brother.
But now the women in wrestling, and this was a big surprise to me when I started watching again, they're damn good.
They are. They're phenomenal.
Really good matches.
Really athletic.
Yeah, sometimes they're doing better storylines than a lot of the men. I mean, I love me some Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss, the Sasha Banks stuff that they're doing right now is really good.
With Bayley, that's great stuff.
I could stand to do without seeing Lana try to wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit sloppy.
It is a bit sloppy. I mean, I guess she's getting sort of roped in with the Rusev Day gimmick, and that's working to help get her as a personality over.
Yeah. But
I agree with you in terms of watching an actual match.
And I'm wondering if they're building towards a intergender match with her and Rusev teaming up against Andre Cien Almas or whatever.
Oh, and Zelina.
Yeah, at SummerSlam. And
Almas is, now talk about great in ring.
Yes.
Almas is fun.
He's really good.
Yeah, I was telling you off air, I've been watching older stuff, and it's not quite yet, but like maybe a second coming Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, he's got a lot of that characteristic to him, you're right.
Yeah, I love that.
He's very relaxed in the ring.
Very relaxed. It's almost, it's not quite straight lucha, but it's kind of a hybrid style. And,
right.
And Zelina Vega, brilliant. Brilliant to have her as his manager or whatever she is. Like, she's just great. Cuts yeah, a great promo. And actually, I didn't realize until I saw her recent match how tiny she is.
Yeah, she is small.
Yeah, you know, we have to suspend disbelief. This is essentially like my, I don't really feel guilty about it. I was going to say guilty pleasure. I don't really feel guilty about it. I don't even feel guilty about talking about it right now.
Like, you shouldn't.
It's my show. I'm going to talk about what
I
want.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. And I would love to see, I don't think he will because he's been doing so at Jericho that we started the show talking about. He's done great things in New Japan.
Yes. I was reading the rumor sheet today, and it was talking about he might be wanting to work with Impact Wrestling.
Okay, wow.
That would be huge for them. That would be really huge for them.
Because he's one of the best. He really is.
Yes.
And I would encourage folks, because there was this great, where Conrad Thompson, who we mentioned earlier, did a show with Eric Bischoff, 83 weeks episode, where it was all about Chris Jericho and WCW. And so Jericho heard it, and it was all in good fun. He's like, well, I want to correct the record. So Jericho invited Conrad Thompson onto his podcast, Talk Is Jericho.
Talk Is Jericho.
And essentially had Conrad give him the Conrad Thompson treatment. And so it ended up being like 6 hours of all stories and people going back and correcting them, each other and their perspective on how things went down. And folks, if you haven't ever gotten into it, if you want a distraction, you want to have some fun, I find it is fascinating. I love this stuff. And especially learning the backstory, learning like the podcast world. Like, I never really knew that much because I'm a Southern guy and really all we had was WCW for a while. I never really knew much about, I don't know, Brother Love.
Yeah.
And Bruce Prichard's stint on camera.
I love you.
I love you, and I don't like you. Well, we're talking wrestling tonight, folks. I will not be here tomorrow. I will not. I will be heading down to New Orleans.
Gotta get dressed up.
Oh, yeah, I gotta find that red dress tomorrow morning before we leave, and I'll go with my brothers, and, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll all find a shop for dresses together. Well, you're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. Be right back after this break.
Joey Clark.
What do you
you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Oh, man, piece of junk.
Larry, what are you fussing about?
I'm trying to crank this, a piece of junk.
Here, try this.
Man, what brand is this?
It's a Steel, the number one selling brand in America.
Wow, this looks great. Where can I get it? Home Depot, Lowe's?
Huh? Neither. You can't buy a Steel there, but you can buy one at my store, CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
Man, I bet they cost a fortune.
Shoot, this month, Larry, I've got all Steel equipment on sale. Blowers starting at only $139, grass trimmers for only $129, and the world-famous Steel chainsaw starting at only $179.
Man, you gotta be kidding. That's about what I paid from the home store for this piece of junk. Now, what I do, though, if it breaks? You ship it off, it'll take 6 weeks.
No, look, some Steel components have a lifetime warranty, but if it does break, I got the parts and service departments on site. We support what we sell. And check this out. With our exclusive Advantage plan, we'll extend your warranty, repair it in 1 week, or provide you with a free loaner. Now, who else does that?
Get out of here. From now on, anytime I need anything having to do with lawn equipment, I'm going to come to see you at CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
I'm with Miss Dot at the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall. Well, Dot, it's summer and you have a lot going on.
We do. I mean, we are enjoying the air conditioning and the good prices that we have here for the college kids. So if you're working on that, you need to come in and see, because we've got the chests and the desks and the dressers and bookcases. And, you know, if you need to get plates and flatware and all that, we've got that too.
Now, this is furniture that'll stand up over many move-ins and move-outs during the college years, right?
It's not fiberboard, it's not sawdust, and it's not cheap stuff. I mean, cheap meaning quality. But you can furnish the whole apartment for a real, real good price. And we just invite you to come around and see all three floors, because they are great bargains.
Give us those hours of operation.
Monday through Friday is 10 until 6, and Saturday is 9 until 6, and Sunday is 12:30 to 4:30.
That's the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall, 425 Coliseum Boulevard, Eastbrook Shopping Center.
At Nuke's Eatery, we believe in instant gratification. So a selection of our signature salads and sandwiches are always ready in our grab-and-go cooler. Sandwiches, soups, salads, sides, we make everything fresh every day. Flame-grilled, hand-sliced, made from scratch. We take our time so you don't have to. Just run in, grab, and go. Rushed lunch, hectic dinner, you never have to compromise for convenience. Dash in the grab-and-go entrance for something extraordinary, like the black and blue salad, loaded baked potato soup, chicken salad on croissant, or in a container for the whole family. This isn't fast food. It's good food, fast. Don't do the drive-thru. Grab and go. It's always ready at Nuke's Eatery.
Now at Nuke's, the Express Market, with freshly prepared goodness meals to go. Grab and go proteins, house-made sauces. You'll be the hero at your next dinner.
Join us tomorrow from 11:30 to 1 at Capital Chevrolet on the Eastern Boulevard for Cram the Van. Bring your school supply donations to help kids and teachers in the River Region get started on a great school year.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather!
Hi, everybody. We still have a decent chance of showers and thunderstorms. Not every single town will be affected, but many will. The storms will thin out in number in the overnight hours, but tomorrow we'll do it again. Scattered to numerous showers and storms, with the best chance in the afternoon and evening hours, and a high temperature near 90. Then over the weekend, the storms become more widely scattered. A few hit or miss storms here and there. Partly sunny with highs in the low 90s both days. More scattered storms on Monday. Our free weather app has advanced interactive radar down to the neighborhood level, plus current conditions, hourly forecast, 10-day forecast, and push notifications for severe weather alerts. It's free in the App Store. Just search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
This is Brian Carr of Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating. When it's time to make it new again, it's New Look, where we make it simple, you make it beautiful. Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating, 6237 Atlanta Highway.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
You're right, Mike. It's still, like, just some of the best entrance music ever.
Love that Shattered Glass.
Mm-hmm. Like, because you know it's time. It's time to have some fun.
Yeah, I was imagining earlier Stone Cold cutting a promo on you about you picking out your red dress.
You're going to go down. I can't do a good Stone Cold. Go down your little coals.
Gonna go down to New Orleans and get you a mamby-pamby red dress, aren't you, Joey?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
What?
I'm gonna... Well, one thing I want to do some research on is, like, even guys as over as Stone Cold, as popular as Stone Cold, like, when they tried to introduce, like, sayings and stuff that just did not work at all, I want to look some of that stuff up.
Yeah.
Because some of... That's the fun, really fun part about wrestling is the crowd... Maybe too much these days, but the audience is such a character in the affair. Yeah. Like, they, like Rusev Day. It's just, they want what they want, and they kind of dictate what really is popular.
At WrestleMania, I think that was the number one chant, was even during the pre-show, and people just filing in and everything like that, was a lot of Rusev Day. A lot of Rusev Day.
Yeah, and I want to kind of focus in because we haven't really been able to talk in depth. You were able to go down for WrestleMania.
Yes. It was a great show, great experience. I took the kids down there. They've been to a couple of house shows, but they've never been to a big pay-per-view, and, you know, that's the biggest of the year. And they had never been to New Orleans, so it was culture shock for them as well. I know my daughter found it very interesting that they had a weed truck driving around that you could buy edibles and things like that from.
It's legal down there?
It must be decriminalized or something because I sent you a picture of the truck.
I remember seeing
it. And it had lollipops and things like that you could buy from it.
That's a lot of fun at a wrestling match, actually. That sounds like a blast.
But yeah, that and the homeless people and all of that, it was eye-opening for the kids.
Now, I guess you did the whole weekend.
Yes, we went down, we left Thursday night, got down there and stayed through till Tuesday. So.
Oh, wow. What shows were you able to go to?
We didn't really go to anything other than WrestleMania. We did a lot of sightseeing, taking in a lot of the culture of New Orleans itself, eating at a lot of good restaurants.
Oh, food is great down there.
We spent one night when it rained, just stayed at the hotel because they had an indoor heated pool. So the kids were all about that. But yeah, I'd say their biggest complaint was having to sit for 7-8 hours in the arena when we finally got in and got our seats.
Because y'all got there for the pre-show.
We got there as soon as the doors opened, because I remember last time when we went, when me and my wife went, the line to get in was just enormous and took forever out in the heat. So we were like, we're going to get to the, they have a big block party before they open the doors. That lasts for about 2 hours. So we went to that. They had a band playing and they had a couple of wrestlers come out. Big Show came out and did a little promo thing.
Nice.
Then they opened the doors and we were probably in the first group of people to make it through the herd there. So you finally get to our seats and then it's stuck in those seats for the next, literally 7.5 hours of just being there. And I loved it. You know, I'm consuming all this wrestling. The kids are like, oh my gosh, how much longer is it over yet? And I'm telling them, because I thought the end time was at 10. So I'm like, oh yeah, it's coming up. It's 10, almost 10 o'clock. You know, and then I'm starting to wonder, they've got 2 or 3 more matches. How are they going to squeeze these in? And then I look it up and it says 11 p.m. is when they were going to end. I was like, oh my goodness.
That is a long time for any type of show.
Yeah. And, you know, for two kids that aren't really into wrestling,
yeah,
that was brutal for them.
Because you're going to have to indulge dad, guys.
The things we do for our dads, so.
Yeah, it was a good show. I remember it feeling a little long in the tooth, though, at certain points.
It was.
It's like, I know you're trying. There are a lot of people that won't deserve to be on the card.
Like Braun Strowman taking 15 minutes to pick out a wrestling partner.
Yeah, that's one thing. I see what they were doing, but I did not really love that.
And there was a rumor going around that Rey Mysterio was going to make a comeback at WrestleMania. So I'm thinking the whole time, oh, it's going to be Rey Mysterio. And then it's David Cohen. Cone's kid. David Cone is one of the referees. Ends up being his son that they
Nicholas.
Bring up there. Yeah. What a disappointment that was.
Yeah, and I could see if you're a little kid, that might have been cool. Like, yeah. You're really into wrestling.
Wow. It could have been me.
It could have been me, but yeah, I didn't love it. Yeah, but I did. I mean, I love the Charlotte Flair Asuka match.
Yes, that was a really good match.
It was epic. I might, for some reason, I just might be an Undertaker mark. But even though it was a squash match, I kind of loved it. I thought it fit the story.
They did it well.
Yeah.
Of having Cena being in the front row, which for the first two or three matches, more people were focused on what John Cena was doing in the front row than what was going on in the ring. That was a bit of a distraction, but having him sit there and drinking a beer and kind of taking in the show, and then them come out real quick and say, you know, Undertaker's accepted, and he runs to the back
that
to get ready.
Funny.
And he comes out, and then you were mentioning it earlier, Elias's music hits when it's supposed to be the dead man coming out. strums the guitar.
Some of the loudest boos I've ever heard. I was at home laughing my ass off. And then when Taker comes out, I thought it fit the story perfectly, that for weeks John Cena's calling this guy out, he's questioning his manhood, and then Cena, when Taker actually shows up, is acting like a scared little kid.
And they did it so cool. They had the lightning come down, and his hat and his coat were folded up sitting in the ring before the match. And then it disappears.
Yep.
And then he comes out. It was pretty amazing.
I thought it was pretty awesome. And I, you know, you can tell how much longer is Undertaker going to be able to do this.
They're talking about him doing it again this year.
He probably will. And I thought that was such a cool event, the Greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia. That was so weird and unique to watch because obviously the guys sitting right around the ring, kind of the Royals. They didn't seem to be as... The kids did, but the adults
didn't seem to be into it as much. Yeah.
No, and it was a little distracting with all these, like, plush chairs sitting around the ring. But the coolest thing is that you have all these people in Saudi Arabia, and they know all the chants. They know who to cheer, who to boo. I haven't heard as much heat as when, I can't remember their names, the two Iranian brothers came out.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, they have bad blood anyway, just geopolitically.
Yeah, it's like 80s U.S. wrestling with the Russian coming out. It was great. But then Taker did a casket match with Rusev. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, it was a good match.
It reminded me of a 90s Undertaker match. And he's really doing the dead man gimmick. He's really kind of slow and plodding. It's been an interesting time where it's like so much new is happening. I guess they're doing some new thing in Australia.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I think they sold out, I don't know the name of the arena, but it's a massive amount of people that you can fit in there.
Yeah, and so they're just doing shows, massive shows worldwide, extending their reach. And you're just like, how is it just going to keep getting bigger?
To what point does it stop, though?
Right.
I know they've just signed a new TV deal. They're going to be on Fox.
Yes, that's the big change.
Yeah.
Where SmackDown will now be on...
FSN, I believe. They're going to put SmackDown on FSN, and they're going to move Raw to actual Fox, regular Fox broadcasting.
Wow.
That'll be huge for Fox.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
No, that's huge for the WWE, too. That's a much bigger audience than USA Network.
Absolutely. Because you got people that don't have cable out there that will be able to watch their programming. So you get a lot more eyeballs on the product. So.
But I've been watching a lot of the old stuff, and sometimes I long for, you know, there's a little color, there's a little blood coming down.
Just a little bit.
And there's a little, it's more intensity sometimes to the matches, what you can say. And,
they weren't afraid of concussions back then.
No, that's the crazy thing. You look at some of those things where people weren't aware. It's like, oh, I got my bell rung. And they're still taking a chair shot.
And chair shot.
Well, and we were talking about the Mick Foley-Taker match, Hell in a Cell match, earlier. Apparently, after he, you know, goes off the top of the cage into the announce table, after he goes through the cage into that, Vince actually runs down, not as like a gimmick or work. He's actually worried.
Concerned, yeah.
About Mick Foley. Is this guy about to die on my television program? And then... essentially Foley at the end of the match, they do a tack, thumb tack spot, which according to Chris Jericho is like the most painful thing he's ever done.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So for folks who don't know, essentially they dump out a bunch of thumbtacks into the ring and get slammed on top of it. And it's not, there's no way to fake that.
It hurts both wrestlers, not just the one that's doing the move, but the other guy ends up with tacks all in his arms and his legs. And
the reason I bring it up is apparently Mick Foley was so out of it. Like, he received a concussion that night. He was so out of it. He comes back to Bruce Pritchard after the match. He goes, "I'm so sorry. I missed the thumbtack spot."
He didn't even remember it.
Yeah, and Bruce's like, "No, you got it in. What are you talking about?" And this is as he's having thumbtacks pulled out of him. He's like, "Oh, yeah, I guess we did get it in." And that's where you have to, and I see why they're worried these days. You have to step back and go, okay, that's too far.
Yeah.
You got to take care of these guys to a certain extent. Because I think sometimes wrestling gets a bad rap in the mainstream press. For, you know, a lot of guys die young, these sort of things. But I think if you look at a lot of any sport, any sort of, you know, you combine sports and abuse on your body along with road life where you're constantly traveling, I think some people just don't handle it well.
Yeah.
And that's what ends up being your downfall, whether it's substance abuse or concussions, these sort of things.
Working 300 days out of the year.
Right.
And something, you know, that's very intense on your body.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I can't imagine doing it full time like that.
How often did you do it again?
We do once a month shows.
Once a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm
so
sure.
You get time to rest and recuperate.
And, I mean, after just doing it one show a month, you'd be sore as hell.
Oh, yeah. You've got a couple of days of moving a little gingerly.
Yeah. And, I mean, the closest, like we've talked about this before, the closest I've ever done is, like, you know, high school football. And you'd be sore and tired after a game, but you'd be fine, you know, a few days in. I can't imagine no pads. You're doing crazy spots. Like, oh, it's just, it amazes me. The wear and tear. And it, you know, it's inspired me to get in shape myself. So it's something that I think makes me, the reason I love wrestling so much is it reminds me of being a kid, to be honest.
Yes. Well, you get to escape for that 90 minutes or 2 hours that it's on and just suspend your disbelief and be a kid again.
Yeah, it's...
Magic is real.
It seriously reminds me of sitting with my grandfather watching, you know, the WCW and the NWO coming in. And apparently, and this got broke last Friday, I don't know if you heard, but I think Kevin Nash is coming to town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the Gump City Con or something.
That they're putting
out in October.
I've heard about that.
So I think Kevin Nash will be in town. Big
oh, that'd
sexy.
Be neat, yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun. And the stories about him are hilarious, how he's this charming, wonderful guy, but he loved to stir it up.
Now, that's supposed to be like a Comic-Con, right?
Yeah.
Coming to town.
Yeah.
The Montgomery's first.
Exactly. And so, you know, may give me extra reason to go.
Yeah, I may go check that out.
It'd be a lot of fun. And it's cool to see Montgomery get something like that. Now that culture's become a bit more mainstream these days.
Well, I've collected comic books since I was 8, so.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, I'm a big comic book guy.
If you have a collection, what's, like, your most prized possessions?
I have some really old X-Men. X-Men 34, the first introduction of Magneto. That, and I've got almost a full run of Spider-Man.
Nice.
The Amazing Spider-Man, so.
Yeah, I've never gotten into the comic books. I guess, I love Marvel Cinematic Universe. Again, it's like suspension of disbelief.
Yes.
And what's really cool is people will look down on the stuff like what we just said. Reminds you of being a kid. You got to grow up something. Well, yeah, of course you grow up.
You're growing up every day. You take care of bills. Right. You get up. You go to your job. You have kids. You know, you have a family. You have all these things that you do that are growing up. What's wrong with having a little bit of time where you get to be a kid?
Exactly. And then occasionally, out of that stuff that sort of you think, oh, it's escapism or whatever, you also get amazing storytelling. Whether it's Infinity War, which is essentially a tragedy splayed out for 2.5 hours.
Which was awesome.
Oh, was yeah.
So good.
But then you get great storytelling. Like, I am so looking forward to this backstory and what's going to go on with, we've already brought it up, but with Miz and Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
That's such an interesting, can probably get deeply personal.
They've had heat with each other for several years now.
Right.
When Daniel Bryan wasn't wrestling, it was just, when he was the GM of the SmackDown, when he was doing the after show, I guess you'd call it a podcast that they were doing.
Oh, yeah, Talking Smack.
Talking Smack. I think that's where they kind of lit the fuse for that feud, not knowing that Daniel Bryan was going to get cleared to wrestle again. So,
well, and that's an amazing story in and of itself, of beyond just the wrestling world, that this, he's essentially told you can't wrestle anymore because of, you know, CTE scans.
Like, right.
You've had too many concussions, and apparently he's done sort of rehabs, I think working with the Joe Namath Institute, where they're having new techniques that it can help heal somebody's brain.
Right.
From that sort of trauma. So to hear he came back, and but then it goes back to questions like, oh, he's got to earn his spot again. Like, okay, you're going to do a program with Big Cass, who is now done, right?
Yeah, because he grabbed Carmella backstage. They had been dating, and he got into a spat with her and grabbed her by the arm, and WWE said, no, we don't do that.
Ooh.
So they cut him loose.
Man, that's a whole other aspect of that business. The, I guess the old wisdom is don't bring your wife around the business for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, I can't imagine Rusev and Lana, that whole situation.
It's got to be a crazy life. And,
you know, I guess it's good you've got your spouse with you.
Oh, yeah.
So you're traveling, and they don't have kids or anything, so they get to be on the road together and all that good stuff. But
well, I just listened to something on the whole Edge, Matt Hardy, Lita triangle, which was a real-life thing. I guess Lita, I can't remember her real name, is married to Matt Hardy. Or they're together.
They're together,
They're together. I don't think they're quite married. And they get split up. They get put on different brands, different touring schedules.
Yeah, and she falls in love with Edge.
Because they're riding, Edge and Lita are riding together every night.
Yes.
So think about it, folks. You're riding with another attractive, athletic, you know, a person that does exactly what you do. You get talking long car rides in the wee hours of the night. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And apparently Matt Hardy finds out about this and goes nuts.
Yes.
Like, even, in public.
Yeah, even spills onto some of the television programming.
Yeah, and they made it work on television, apparently. But it's just, like, at a certain point, and I have thought about this and a lot of stuff I love. Like, how much do we ask of these folks who we love to be entertained by?
Yeah.
And I don't actually feel personally responsible because, you know, like, I didn't tell Ric Flair to drink that much and cheat on his wives. But there's, at a certain point, and it's beyond wrestling, how much does somebody give up in order to achieve a certain level of fame or greatness, whatever you want to call it? Usually there's a dark side to that, you know, success story.
Right.
A lot that you sacrifice in order to reach certain levels of success, whether in, you know, business or, you know, hell. I'm not, like, on the Trump train, but I look at, like, Donald Trump, go, life was probably pretty good for him.
And then he went and messed it up and became president.
Right. They're taking his star off the Walk of Fame.
Crazy.
There's just all sorts of stuff. You get a lot of heat for, you know, running and jumping into politics. So, I mean, it just comes with the territory. I don't know. I'm looking forward to going home, though, tonight, relaxing, eating something tasty.
Eating some steak.
Probably eating some steak again. Yeah. I might go off the wagon, though, and eat a burger.
There you go.
Get a little bit of some bread in me. And maybe I'll try to hook my good friend Aaron, who's riding down with us to New Orleans for this bachelor party, into watching an old match or something. Like, I went back and watched 2002 SummerSlam, and that's where Shawn Michaels returned.
Oh, yeah.
What an incredible match, folks. I mean, and this is, if you're interested in wrestling at all, there's so much to where you don't even have to watch the new stuff. You can, you were saying there's a new program now where it's like Superstar Picks?
Superstar Picks, yeah, on the WWE Network, which you can get for $9.99. First month is free if, for new subscribers.
And they're not paying us to say that, no, unfortunately.
I wish they were.
Yeah, I do too.
That'd be nice.
I'm just that big of a fan.
Some of that WWE money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and there's plenty of it to go around.
But yeah, they have a different superstar pick, several different matches that are their all-time favorites. And it's a pretty interesting show.
So it's like somebody who's doing it goes, what? Here's the match that inspired me, or that, yeah, I really love.
Or that they, yeah, exactly. That's it, exactly.
Okay, okay, yeah. And it's an interesting take where obviously you're learning more about the personal side of the business and what it takes to put these things together. And I think that's what's hooked me in the most, is that I get invested in, oh, this is actually what people do for a living.
And I think one of the things that you're doing is great, where you're listening to the podcast where they talk about specific pay-per-views that happened in the past, and then going back with the knowledge of what went on behind the scenes,
yeah,
and going back and actually watching the pay-per-views, it gives it a whole different perspective when you watch it, kind of knowing what was going on.
Well, and some are even fun to watch when they're crap.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to see this. I got to, who was, Zach Gowen, the one-legged guy?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to watch this Vince McMahon fight this guy with one leg.
And, or ECW's Dismember to Remember, or, yeah. Which was terrible.
Yeah, it's fun sometimes to go back and watch the train wrecks.
Yes.
It's like watching a terrible movie that was meant to be serious, but laughing at it as a comedy. It's so bad, it's good. There's that aspect of it, too, but... Like, if for folks that don't know, go watch SummerSlam 2002. I mean, you get Chris Jericho, Ric Flair have a match, Eddie Guerrero, Edge have a match.
That's an awesome match.
Oh, it's so good. I think the main event is, Lesnar versus The Rock. You have Shawn Michaels, Triple H. I'm leaving some out, too. Like, what was it? Gold Dust and Booker T against the Un-Americans.
Yeah.
What a crazy gimmick to put on after 9/11. Right after 9/11. But it's awesome. It's Lance Storm, it's Christian, it's Test. Like, there's so many good matches on that show. It's one to just put on and enjoy.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things live forever. And it makes me wonder if, like, somebody like a Kevin Nash who's coming to town, did you think when it was going on, or even a few years after, that we'd be talking about it 20 years later,
yeah.
And it's weird how the internet's changing the culture, changing society.
Yeah, just instant access to everything. I mean, anything you can think of, pretty much in wrestling, even some of the smaller promotions, older promotions, it's all right there at your fingertips.
Yeah, I was watching an old Ric Flair Dusty Rhodes match.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was very entertaining.
From the NWA days.
Yeah. And it was like an early... I was like, is that Tony Schiavone?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, he started young. He started way back. So, Mike, we're pretty much out of time, man.
Oh, I hate to hear that.
Yeah, me too, but I'm ready for my bachelor party weekend.
Yeah, you're ready to
weekend.
Start this 3-day weekend.
Yeah, thanks for this nice, relaxing show. A little
no
chat.
Problem. My pleasure, brother.